Welcome to the Muskie 360 podcast. This is the Muskie Shop Bash Hangover Edition. A Jaybird.
Woo, Steve, how you doing?
How's it going? We also are graced by the presence of Jim, the Tube Screamer Stewart. Say yee-yee, Jim.
Yee-yee. How's it going, everybody?
Doing good. Everybody, we just had the bash. It's the Jim Stewart's Gone Crazy discount we had. You missed it, man.
Yeah.
It was unbelievable. A lot of cool stuff. That was a heck of an event. Jim, you know, talk about, you know, some of the vendors you had come out this year and just sort of wrap it up for everybody.
Oh, it was a really fun day. This is the third year we did it, and it's just great. I think the vendors had a great time. Us as staff, you know, we have a great time. All of the attendees had a great time. Everybody's together talking about muskies. We had a bunch of sales. I think it's just a day where people are talking about muskies and learning a lot from the speakers we had and the power panel. And I mean, Muskie Bash is truly what it was. And man, it's just a great, great fun day.
Really some fine food involved too. I mean, we got to congratulate
the Minocqua Wiener King, yeah. Big Freddy in the game.
Great job. His sauteed bratwurst.
Oh my goodness.
Hello.
People talk about Freddy's Wiener far and wide.
Yep. Yeah,
it's unbelievable.
Yep. Muskie fight juice. How fun was that, Steve?
Herbeck got into it again.
Yeah,
it
he's
was,
okay.
I tried to be like ease off that a little bit. He's like, what is it? Is this bug juice? What's this bug? And I said, you did this last year, Papaw. Yep. Don't drink it.
Yep.
We limited him.
He only had two, and he's fine, folks.
He's fine. You know,
okay. Relative term.
You know, that stuff will burn your kidneys out. You know,
it's sure from the inside.
Guy asked me what it tastes like. I said, don't drink it. It's poison. I'm just telling you, but who am I? Who am I? I'm, you know, whatever. What do you do?
Safe for children, but definitely not adults.
No, it's like lead paint. It's something you live with forever.
Yes. Well, look, moving on, Steve.
Absolutely. Other than that, I mean, what I think is so cool about the bash, and definitely we were talking this morning about next year, it's going down. If you haven't been, be there. But what's so cool is you have that unrestricted access to Joe Bucher or Herbeck or Smitty, and you can just sit there and, you know, press the flesh. It's such a if you've not been, it's so laid back. That's probably the coolest part, where there's not a lot of pomp and circumstance, and, you know, it's just you and guys you've seen on TV standing right there, and you can go up and shake their hand and chew the fat.
Not to mention, we had some really fun extracurricular activity during the bash. One of our podcast listeners, I'm so bad with names, I'm sorry, I can't remember your name off the top of my head, but he had an Elmer Jensen for President 2024 poster made and t-shirt. We've got it right here in the office, deciding how to display it properly in the store. Classy, beautiful, elegant.
And it's top notch. Also, too, a lot of people got a lot of books out of me for some cheese signing. That was ridiculous.
I signed some cheese.
You know, but and the look on, say, a Joe Bucher or Steve Herbeck's face, or when just a random stranger walks up and say, hey, will you sign my extra sharp cheddar? I mean, come on. Keep it weird.
Yeah. Yeah, Jim wasn't sure what to think of that one. I caught him looking.
They walk up with a block of cheese?
Yeah.
What happened?
Yeah.
You signed my cheese. What are you going to say to the guy? Yeah. Obviously, if somebody walks up to you with a block of cheese and a Sharpie, they're obviously mentally disturbed. And if you say no, things could go sideways rather quickly. So you're going to sign the cheese.
Right.
Guaranteed. So
it was part of a podcast thing about a month ago, and he remembered.
Yeah.
It slipped my mind. He brought the cheese up to me with a Sharpie, and I'm like, hi.
You know, this might be the most lucid I've ever been doing the podcast. So I don't even remember where that came from.
We hooked him up with some cool stuff. I can't remember what it was. Pack of lures or something like that. But everyone walked away with something, I think.
Yeah,
they were
good.
All happy. And we talked to a lot of cool people. It was a fun day. And man, thanks for everybody that came. And thanks to all our awesome vendors.
Yeah.
Some of them who drove, you know, the extra mile and then some to get some and to make a really cool setup. We had several rows. I think we had 23 vendors set up, and
they had to get three employees.
Cool.
They had to get three employees to drag me out of the Supernatural booth. It got ugly.
Oh,
I was just
Duff
in there.
Oh, yeah, Supernatural had a bunch of custom stuff. And, you know. Oh, Steve fell in love there, let me tell you.
You know, Duff, stop touching my things. Right. Stop touching my stuff, Duff, is what he said. And here I'm just getting my grubby paws on everything.
Said, no, you can't buy anymore, Steve. You've got to save some for real people.
For real people, right. I walked in like Scrooge McDuck from DuckTales. I just plopped down a bag of gold and said, give me. And he said, we gotta make them go around. But no, I love the Supernatural stuff. It was cool. BNN was there. It was a neat company to show up. And, you know, Stowmaster Nets were in the house. Maps, everybody. It's such a neat thing. And
yeah,
you know,
Spanky Bates, all the big companies, you know, like Daiwa and Shimano and Akuma and
Daiwa introduced a new reel this year. It's a JSE model. It's the Daiwa Ria. So they introduced that. It's a JSE signature model, Daiwa Ria. Look for that in 2024.
They don't even tell me about these things.
You know, well, they propped it on me. I'm your manager, and I signed the contract, so I'm going to take my 10%, and I'll give you 4.
Imagine that dial reel is not purple.
It is not purple. That's
enough said.
It is the JSE Browntown special.
Okay.
Anyway, goodness gracious, you know, it's tough being Jay around these parts. We got to cover the comings and the goings at the Muskie Shop. What's new this week, boys? Well, we got crack-a-lackin'. I know.
We're trying to restock.
It has been, you know, melee. I know. I personally watched people work while I stood there and did nothing. Bring in some hot tail stuff. So the Enticer, that's in. What else, Jay? Is it the restock on the Dive and Rise from Hot Tails, I believe, came in?
A partial shipment, yeah.
Yeah.
Odds and ends. He's got a new crankbait. We're struggling to get that on the website as soon as possible. Smutley Dog.
We're slightly behind on it. We're a day behind on the podcast. There's baits laying in totes everywhere you look here.
We're a day behind on everything.
And it's crazy. We're having a good time.
Spanky just brought that. Introduced that great big spinner bait.
Do we know a name on it?
We don't even have it online yet. He just brought him to the show. It's an awesome bait, man.
Yeah,
that is
very cool.
They sold really good that day. That's going to be a really, really good one. Well, hopefully, as we dig out here, we'll get that on the next couple days.
Very cool.
Yeah, right now it's show only. Tom was told to hold off. They might be changing something on it slightly, so we're waiting for the official word if we can put it as a, you know, stock Spanky spinnerbait.
Very cool.
Soon.
Very cool. And then there's a couple we did it last year. Are we shipping Fight Juice, Jay?
I think they're sold out.
Are they? Let's look here. Let's look.
Like Steven said last year, Herbeck had like 7 of those things, and I asked him, yeah, you're going to go a little lighter on those this year, right? And Herbeck's like, heck yeah, last year I laid down at night. I thought it was like Gatorade. I laid down at night and thought my head was going to pop off. Seriously.
Oh, yeah. You don't want to drink that much. He was drinking the Thunder, and the Fight Juice is even worse, folks. It was even worse this year.
We've got, I think, 2.
Oh, my goodness. Come on.
Put them on a couple hours. 2. Ago.
Yeah, we 2.
Yeah, there's a
By
few
the time
over,
you've heard
there's
this, there's not 2, unless you just listened immediately when it came out a day late. So
I DM'd a few folks that had messaged me through Instagram about trying to get one that were out of country or whatnot, just too far, could not make the drive, wanted to, and it's just, there's any way.
Oh, my goodness. You said out of country. We had Canadians. It was crazy.
Yeah, there's a gentleman from Canada. This is pretty neat of Steve, actually. He asked, hey, I told him we had a few left right away when I put him on. I want to make sure this guy had a crack at getting one because he was the one person that really expressed serious interest in ordering it. So put him on, and I told him, he immediately asked if we could sign his cans, and he got a Titan, and Steve actually got him one of his hats, too, out of his truck. So,
wow. Now he's going to have lice.
So, a little, some collectibles for our buddy in Canada.
Make
there,
sure you
so.
get some lice medicine if you wear my hat. Anyway, it's tough being me. You know, other than that, everybody's asking, you know, what's going on. It is wacky weather in Minocqua. It has been crazy. We've barely been able to get out after the bash because we are sitting here, but it is going to be interesting. So we're going to fill you guys in on that. You know, we're going to do some Q&A here, but people were asking at the bash, and it's different. The issue I came up right before the bash, we've not really kept the water hot at all. But I'm telling you, you're going to have to branch out this year. You're going to have to look at things differently because it's different. I mean, we're sitting at, what, 61, 62 right now. Pretty good cold fronts coming through.
For a daytime high Monday, yeah.
Yeah, and you've got a lot of different scenarios we're going to have to look at.
A lot of storms, I think.
Yeah, so it is. It's interesting.
You've been here since Thursday, and I think we've only fished a very, very
few hours
in between
hours.
Storms and just the whole schedule we've had. So hopefully we've got some time the rest of this week here after work.
Yeah, and what's
to get
cool,
out and fish.
Very, very, very stoked about something we're working on you guys on the podcasters can get ready for is if you notice the videos this year, short, everybody's got ADD. So we want to convey as much messaging as we can with the muskie shot videos during muskie season to show people baits. People have been asking, especially at the bash, well, you know, why are they so short? Well, you guys watch 30 and 60 second videos. Nobody's watching 10 minute hitters anymore. So what we're doing, you're going to see some more fish. You're going to see some more bait demos over Muskie Shop TV. But we got the green light today from the big man in the room, Jim Stewart. We are doing a 90-minute full tactical muskie fishing video here. Jim, what can people expect out of this other than just bad camera work and debauchery for me and Jay?
It's going to be a lot of tactical information. Try to educate people and show different ways to work rods, reels, and just tactical stuff, mm-hmm. and informational stuff that people can take in real time, watch it and put it into action and help them catch more muskies. You know, yeah. That's what we're here to try to educate and help people along the way if we can. And that's what we're going to try to do.
If you try to take some of the ninja tricks from the podcast and show them in video form. And, mm-hmm. We're trying to get out of it, but it's difficult. A lot of times to get Jay to do what you want him to do, you got to placate him, and he wants to put his interpretive dance routine in this thing because he thinks podcasters would like it. We're gonna see. We're working through that in real time, really, to be honest with you. Moving on. All right, guys, we got the first question up.
Jay.
I'm doing it from my phone. We're doing it live. We're doing it live.
Hit me.
Anthony, Jay, Steve, what's up? I'm coming up to Jay's neck of the woods. Certain dates fishing this lake. Right. Can you suggest colors for that lake? Looks like the weather's going to be nice and consistent. Highs, you know, 80s, time of year. What do I do? Okay. He said he's done his mapping homework. One thing I'm going to tell you right now, and Jay, the point on that lake is the point.
Well, it sure is, Steve.
Yeah, you know what I'm talking about. Yeah, yeah.
We went out there once last year, and it was a fantastic action flurry before we had the heaviest rainfall ever hit your
low.
Boat.
Shorty got low.
Hit the bilge switch, please.
Yeah.
And, as for colors, hard baits, walleye pattern.
Yep.
Perch with a white belly, that's a good standby, too. Relative water clarity, and that's a great natural pattern that works on that lake. And in blades, if you're throwing bucktails at all, black and gold, black and nickel, or orange bladed stuff with the dark skirt.
I'll tell you this, but the experience we've had out there, stagger blades, it's the Frenzy, is it 8.9 or
8.9?
Frenzy 8.9, yeah. Pretty killer on that lake. Now, Jay, would you call that? That's just a clear body of water, right? Clear.
Semi.
Some
at this
got a semi.
At this point, being what we're, it's almost late July. Unbelievable. It may start to develop somewhat of a bloom here soon, but right now water clarity is pretty decent.
That's where I was going. So if you hit that body of water, and I'll say this, we're being cryptic as always. Any of these clear Northwoods lakes, a lot of what Jay said would work, especially in that area. And we're talking St. Germain over that area. Because you have differences from like Highway 70 all the way through Eagle River. There's slightly different bodies of water. When you hit a bloom, I'm going to tell you, if you hit a lake and you're like, man, our family's been hitting Lake so-and-so for 40 years and this is what we fish, and you're contending with a bloom, black out blades, black on black, big blades, you know, hit the Spanky rack, hit the Frenzy rack. they make blackout. So you get a black skirt with black blades. For some reason, that really excels when we've got an algae bloom.
Yeah.
I've seen that just kick some serious butt over the years. So that is a pretty good tidbit to go. The phones are ringing off the hook.
We got a call every, on line one.
Every 5 minutes. Where's the Psycho Froggy? We're sold out, folks. The Psycho Froggy went insane.
Only at Sunset, Steve.
Only at Sunset. We were teasing Joe. I love Joe to death. Yep. He does have the Psycho Froggy Top Raider. Do we have any left or no?
Couple.
So you got a couple Psycho Froggy Top Waters or Top Raiders. They did a cool little paint job, and he was telling us about it. And then me and Jay were taking bets. If Booker was doing a new video, what would it be named? And we went back and forth.
Yep.
100% Psycho Froggy at Sunset. Jay nailed it.
Right. Well, it was with the Walking Raider.
What are you going to do? So you got the Walking Raider. So check out Joe Daddy's Psycho Froggy. It's very cool. It's very green. Chris says, I believe I messed up my email I sent. Okay, I'm going to skip that part. Why does the shallow version of the regular swimming dog weigh more than the regular one? Is that true? Jay, can you go grab one of each? Can we see? Or do we know? Wow. I can tell you why, if this is correct. So the shallow swimming dog is a hollow body swim bait. But the standard is kind of not hollow body. What do we see? We've got the best minds in the world working on this right now, going through the computer. Can you hear the processing power at work? What do we weigh, Jay? What do we weigh?
Okay. The swimming dog shallow regular is 3.6 ounces.
Bam.
Okay. Swimming dog regular. Is 2.9.
So okay.
Maybe he's looking at, maybe he pulled up a listing on a Magnum size. There are two sizes.
Okay.
The regular size is immensely popular.
So
I'm
one
talking
more time.
Immensely.
So the regular swimming dog is what?
2.9 ounces.
And go to the shallow.
3.6.
So the shallow weighs more.
And it's a different body.
Right.
Like you said, it's a much rounder body.
So, and you go, what's happening there? It's a hollow body swim bait, right? So it actually weighs more. It's about buoyancy. It's about the consistency of the plastisol that they're using. I'm sure it's probably the same plastisol across the board. I have not torn into one of those bad boys, but yeah, Jay's saying the surface area, the roundness of it. So it's like the lift of a blade. We talked about this earlier.
We were.
A willow leaf blade where it's flat is going to go deeper. A Colorado has lift. It's a round body swim bait. I'm not going to sit here and swear in front of a judge that it's hollow body, but it sure looks like it to me. And so that's going to play into it. So the surface area, the roundness of the body is going to keep that thing a little bit higher. So that is, it's kind of funny that he points that out. A shallow version weighs more than the deep or regular. He's got another one here. In your opinion, experience, which weight is best for twitching cranks? Weighted suspending slow rise or more buoyant so that it dives and rises as far as a crankbait? What do you guys think? Do you want your cranks to rise fast? Do you want them to be suspending? What's sort of your play there? Jimmy Stewart, what do you think, buddy?
Well, I guess it depends on the depth of water you're fishing and the structure you're fishing. But if you're, let's say, you're fishing on a deeper edge, you know, then I think you want to, you know, get the bait down there and then just pause here and there and just let it rise slow.
Mm-hmm.
If you're fishing shallower, then of course, you know, you want to maybe pop up a little quicker so it's not getting tangled and stuck in the weeds. But I think anytime you can drive your crankbaits into the structure and then pause, if you're shallow, let it pop up quick. And then start working it again. But if it's deeper, you know, get her down there, drive it into the structure if you can, and then just stop and just let it rise slowly. That always triggers fish.
Absolutely. Couldn't say it better. Now, you nailed it. And the only thing that pops in my head about sort of differentiating between slow rise on any bait, whether it be dive and rise, whether it be crankbaits, anything that's a buoyant bait, is the crappier the weather, crappier the seasonality. If the colder the water, the crappier the weather, the slower I want that thing to run. You know, it's a hang time thing. And that's just a loose rule of thumb. You'll find bodies of water or patterns where it's like, okay, everything looks great, but they still want it slow. But in general, that's going to be really the ticket there to sort of tailor your presentations for the conditions and seasonality. What you got, Jay? You look like you want to say something.
Yeah, I agree. Yeah.
Thank you.
You know, we've been scouring the shallow areas. We've been trying everything. We got out. We probably fished a good 2 hours yesterday between those three storms.
Barely.
No, but yeah, we're, you know, some great weeds this year. And, you know, a couple different lakes we were on, there's great little pockets of weeds, too, mm-hmm. so you could actually visibly fish. Something like a good example would be like a 7-inch slammer or a 5-inch baby shallowrator.
Mm-hmm.
Good little thing to little twitch in those little pockets, and when you make contact, you stop, give it a little slack, it backs up backwards and weed free, and you can run that thing in a foot of water, you know, because essentially that's what you're doing when you're fishing those weed pockets in 4 or 5 feet.
Yeah, you got
water when they're that high to the surface.
You're dealing with operating room for things not fouling and just being globbed up. Next one up, Steve. What figure eight tactic should I have used in the below example? Okay. We just got back from Lake of the Woods. The fish was falling and staying with the bait through several turns in the figure eight. The fish followed the bait, nose right on it, several casts in a row, several times during the day, at night, etc., blah, 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 blah. This fish keeps coming back, and he's following hot. I tried the usual stuff, switching baits, speed up into the figure eight, slow down the figure eight, pulse in the figure eight, hang in the corner, change depth change, tried pulling the bait and flipping it past the fish's face, and could just not get it to go. Are there other extreme tricks that I could have employed to get this chaser to eat? A lot of your figure eight stuff obviously is going to be execution, right? So if you feel like you've got a rock solid figure eight, obviously it sounds like you know most of the tricks. What pops in my head immediately with a fish that just keeps following just about anything, he may have been stuck already. So are you in a pop? Is this fish sort of in an off spot, or is this fish like, you know, everybody's hitting, you know, Johnny's rocks? Okay. He might be an aggressive, maybe it's a big aggressive male or whatever. They're just like, and I know better. I've been caught in the eight, or I got stuck and they're a little trepidatious. Let's say that's not the scenario, because I mean, I've seen people like literally wasting prime hours right next to lodges in Canada. And you're going, dude, that fish got caught the last weekend in June, man. Those are gimmies.
Oh, you're saying they're overworking fish as opposed to...
Yeah. Man, maybe, and I'm saying that's a generality, not specifically to this dude asking the question, but don't get caught in that trap. Like, we got a hot fish. I mean, there's a modicum of attention that should be paid. How close are you to the lodge? You know, I'm on a tangent here, but never think you got this hot spot that's 10 minutes from the docks at sundown. Does that make any sense? You know what I'm saying? Like, guys will be like, oh, and it's like, yeah, you're moving them. That fish is, the client's 2 weeks ago popped him. If I'm contending with a fish and maybe you're on some special spot or off spot and you found this fish is worth pursuing that much, casting distance is going to be important to me, and stealth, right? So let's say we have not a lot of, you know, we have moderate skies or something like that, and this fish will come in, but he won't eat it. Get down, crouch down, take a knee, you know, be stealthier about it. But my main thing I'm going to look at above and beyond anything else is trying to add in a mid-cast trigger, get that sucker to eat out, right? Stop staring at him, because you can't mount a follow. And so I want to increase my casting distance to try to trigger that fish, give him more time to overcome the bait, because in my mind, if he's staying that long, this fish needs a little coaxing. Like I said, he might have been stuck already, but if I got a fish like that, back off, bomb it in. You know, just go, all right, I know he's there. I know he's going to follow something. The classic stuff, you know, I'm not there in the boat, so it's hard to get a read. But a lot of the classic stuff is I'm sure you did it. Downsize, do this, do that. Sometimes they're just not going to go. What do you guys think if you got a fish that keeps coming back and just can't get him?
Speed and depth.
Yeah, but you know, he's saying
like
he did
said,
it. Yeah.
Mid-cast trigger.
Right.
You got to try that. So, and that thing's seen you. He knows what you look like. He knows what you're wearing at that point.
Yeah, you're not.
He probably has seen a lot of other baits. Like you said, this is probably a hot spot, and it's one of those conditioned
fish. But maybe it's not. But, you know, it's you get these beat-up fish sometimes. That I've seen that. That's why it comes to my mind, and maybe that's not a scenario. But here's old Ricky. He's over off Thompson's Rock. Go move him. That's old God trick. You know, I know he ain't going to eat, but, man, you know, what does Smitty call him? Chamber of Commerce fish? Right? Oh, yeah, you know you're going to see him, but that thing ain't eating. Oh, you missed him. Oh, sorry, you didn't get one, folks.
Well, maybe, you know, as long as that thing's not coming up in only 3 feet of water, maybe as long as you do have some depth to contend with, just go deeper and hopefully hold that light penetration level and you can fool them.
Okay, you just said that, and it's like you have these memories pop back in your head. I had a good fish. I want to say it's a 4-footer. This is years back. Coming off of a reef, and I could move him pretty consistently once a day. Here he comes, couldn't get him to eat. Trolled him.
Yeah, yeah.
Oh,
yeah.
You want to follow for a long time? You want to keep following? I'll give you something to follow.
Yeah, and teach him a lesson, Steve.
And well, what I did is I think this is.
Easy, Jim.
What he got good?
Wow.
Jim Stewart just said,
if you
got a fish that keeps falling, just shoot him in the head. Get your old long rim.
Shoot him, Dave.
Shoot him in the head. Just line up. Have your friend bring in a bucktail. Aim slightly behind the bucktail, right between the. Pow!
Steve,
got him.
You're kidding right now.
Yeah,
I'm just kidding.
Don't ever do that. No, everything is yours. But like I said, I had this good one coming off this rock in Canada. I said, you know what? I'll give you something to look at. And it was funny. I was just like sort of clinching. Went by the little spot on this reef. There's a little bar kind of that comes off of it.
Mm-hmm.
And if memory serves, I bet you it was 100 yards before he ate. Wow. And I just kept heading to open water. I went, let's see if this works. Anyway, come on. So, yeah, theoretically, maybe I'd tagged an open water 4-footer, but I sure as heck think that was him. And he stopped following after that. So that's just.
Yeah, cool.
There was no more worrying about him following, boys.
Sure.
He found some greener pastures to go wear that one out. You know, it is what it is. Trying to get this. Oh, yep. That was the guy asking. He actually asked if. Sorry. Flipping through the messages. Goodness. Guys, I'm working on it.
There was one trick I that worked for me a few times, actually, when it comes to figure eighting, and just found it by accident. But if you're in the middle of the boat or the front of the boat where you got some room to move, I found just going up the front, up one side, and then quickly the V of the front of your boat, just go fast down that, make that big turn from one side of the boat to the other around that V. That almost always works. I mean, you know, I'm not going to say always, but unless they're just not going to eat, if they're following, that's a trick. Just go up and around the front of your boat. That works quite a bit of the time.
Good point, dude. I've done that too, where you just walk them around the troll. It's dicey, but when you know.
Yep.
I have done that a bunch where just get him in the eight and then take him around the nose, and that extra like kind of acute turn will do something for him. Anyway, next one up, Josh from Western Wisconsin. Hey guys, hope your summer is going well. It is. I want to thank you for the very informative ninja tactics that you've been speaking of on the last couple podcasts. Okay, getting to the meat and potatoes of this question. I'm scrolling here, boys. It's been doing a lot of thinking about a part of the book where I talk about doing a bait check. I do it daily on my home waters, looking for bait shallow, mid, and deep. However, after doing some deep thinking on this tactic, one question comes to mind that I'm interested in getting your thoughts on. So do you check in the morning upon arrival at the boat launch and say you find the majority of bait fish up shallow? You fish that pattern, maybe catch one or two in an hour or so window. As the days progress, you lose the bite and do a second check, say around 10 or 11 in the morning, when the common knowledge would say the water temperature is rising so muskies would move out. He goes on. So I'm gonna paraphrase what's going on here. So in the book, I talk about the three checkpoints, the daily checkpoints. So you have a calibration on your home water. So you know and it's not about the morning. Maybe I launch at 12 because I had too many Pepsis, and I say the bite's hot in the middle of the day because I know I'll find them no matter what. when I make that check, I'm looking for what's going on in the here and now, right? Following the rules of structure fishing and what I've talked about in the book, which you've read already, about how muskies make that daily migration, things are moving and things move in and things move out, I'm usually trying to stay one step ahead of things as things slow. So if let's say I find the bait shallow and things look kosher on that end of things. Once there's a change or a lack of action, I'm immediately looking at the structural elements adjacent to the area that was just hot. So if it turns out that I had a shallow bite, I got two follows, then I'm getting nothing. As the day wears on, okay, we're an hour, 2 hours, something's not clicking, move to the adjacent structure. Those fish are going to follow that down. They're going to follow that out towards deeper water, right? Now, in a mid-depth scenario, let's say I go out and I find all my bait fish are at 8 to 12, and I still check my other spots. You don't just stop on this. Theoretically, you have to check all three. 1, 2, 3, shallow, mid, deep. But I do my check, and mid was the only place. I'm going to start mid, and I'm going to work that and possibly transition deeper, right? So it's giving you a place to go in all three scenarios, so shallow, mid, deep. So throughout the course of the day, if you find the bite and then it starts deteriorating, if they were mid, they either went shallow or they went deep, right? If they're deep, guess they can only go one direction, up. So if I got off conditions and the day is just cruddy no matter what, they're going to stay deep. If they're mid, they might go shallow, they might go deep. You see what I'm saying here? Where theoretically, it gives you a starting point of your next move. Sometimes they just stay shallow. Those are the best days ever. I love it, right? But use that as a starting point and think through things rationally where I go, okay, I have high bright sun, dead flat calm, but I found some shallow fish early. Why were they shallow? It was the low light period of the day. Theoretically, where are they going? They're going to go stage mid a little bit because things are cruddy. Just work through it there. So that three point bait check gives you a starting point. Use the structure fishing, the logic and reasoning for that adheres or it jives with what's going on seasonally, and they'll at least keep you in the game so you're not wasting half the day going, well, they were shallow, I'm going to beat the heck out of this, and basically you're waiting for them to come back at low light or something of that nature.
They were shallow, right.
They were. Where are they now? Using that is going to get you in the game, keep you in the game.
Yeah, absolutely. That's good, Steve.
Okay. That's good, Steve. Thank you.
Yeah, well, you know, it's constant awareness, you know. As the day progresses and you're on the water for several hours,
mm-hmm.
Things change. Bait levels become thicker. They become thinner. They are at different heights, and we've certainly seen some strange stuff yesterday.
Well, and you've got to adapt constantly. And like I said, no pattern lasts all day. Most patterns last an hour. You know, there's very few scenarios where it's going to be hot all day. You're trying to stay where they're at and morph throughout the course of the day like they are. Like, you know, I've put it this way before. Well, I catch them earlier and I catch them late. Well, you're catching low light and periods. That's it. They're doing stuff the rest of the day. Chris! Oh, we're getting a caller. We got a caller. Let's do it live, Jay. It'll be some old guy. Hey, this is Phil from Pennsylvania. I was wondering if you had any reef hogs in stock. Chris, he's asking about a specific lake. It's in the north. But okay. He's heading up with his family. They're going to visit. He's been on this body of water for 3 times. He said, this is a weird lake. It has lots of deep drop-offs. Just wondering if you had any tricks or tips for this lake in particular. Well, let's talk about lakes that have deep drop-offs, right? So what are we going to do? How do we utilize that? And it about parlays into what we were just talking about. A lot of times there's shallow littoral zone adjacent to a deep drop-off. So let's say we're dealing with high bright sun, dead flat calm. We got a cold front. We got nasty conditions, whatever it might be. We're going to fish the deep drop-offs. What do you guys think immediately? What comes to mind? Deep plunging drop-offs up in the north. What's the tactics? What's the tackle?
Tactically, number one, obviously, trolling can be great if you can determine, you know, a specific depth that you need to be at regarding the bait and possibly, you know, marked fish. But soft plastics would be an excellent, easily, quickly achievable depth. with a bulldog, something of that nature, you know, toothy bait, one of those. Excellent search bait for working steep breaks, steep drop-offs. I can think of a particular lake in Vilas County in mine. I'm just envisioning it right now, kind of daydreaming about it, Steve, to be honest with you. So if I might zone out a little bit. Night.
Good night. What do you think, Jim? Deep drop-offs?
Yeah, sometimes those fish will use those deep drop-offs, you know, kind of as a zone to just kind of travel, too. You know, as Steve mentioned earlier, if you control them right along those things, that's always seems to be a good technique. Or counting down soft plastics, you know, something if the fish appear, you know, seem to be down in the water column on, off that deep, that severe drop-off, you know, get something down to them and you know, that's what you got to do, in my opinion, get it to them or troll that deep edge as they're kind of trolling along there, just kind of traveling, if you will.
What, and I really think from what I'm seeing in the North Woods, it kind of can is rock and shallow, but what I think is going to happen is this July for sure is going to be the summer of deep fishing. I'm seeing it already. What we've moved, the action we've had, it is deep. So we're talking trolling. What are, and I know like a headlock, obviously personal favorite, or a depth rater, we can get them deep, but that's not deep. What are some 20-foot runners, Jim? What's some stuff that's at the shop that you're like, this is a, going deep?
Oh, like Steve mentioned, the
going,
you know,
downtown
supernatural stuff. You know, Slammer's got some really good baits. They got that great big crankbait, the with the square bill. Mm-hmm. Oh man, those things, that minnow crankbait, the 14-inch, that thing has tremendous action. It's got a tremendous wobble. It'll walk down there, and it'll get down there, you know, 18, 20 feet, maybe even deeper, depending on your line and how much you got out. That's a really good one. The Reef Digger from Big Fork, that's always a good one. You know, long line and some grandmas, you know, put some weight on your leader. That's a really good one. I mean, what do you got? What do you think, Jaybird?
Oh, I was thinking about yo-yoing a big trap.
It's a trap!
Barbarian H2O, Bill Lewis Magic.
Jay loves traps. Have another Bud Light,
they
Jay.
They sink, buddy.
Huh?
They get down there.
What?
Get down deep and watch magic happen.
Watch it magic happen. What? So
yo-yo effect. It's an SP trick.
So, yeah, it is. What are we casting those?
It's not a trick. Sure. Why not? Going in. You've thrown that H2O Barbarian.
I have.
That's,
I actually like that. That's,
it wanders, too, on a straight retrieve.
That is an interesting casting thing. So the H2O Barbarian is a ginormosaurus 5-inch rattle trap that some of them have soft tails, but they take the same old, is it 5-inch? How big?
Closer to 7.
Wow, is it really that big?
Close to 5 ounces.
Thought it was a 5-inch or 7 inches. Anyway, nonetheless, that thing's bad to the bone, and it has an adjustable weight system. And I think that's that, because I've caught fish vertically jigging that bait too, by the way, which is kind of wicked. So you got a lot of versatility there. But that would be a good yo-yoing ledge bait if you're not a troller. The one thing is this, and I always keep this in mind when we come up north. It's different when we talk trolling, because if you got one guy in the boat, guess what you got? One bait. You got two. So I recommend you come to the Muskie Shop. We're having a super sale on clothing dummies, right? You dress them up, mannequins. You put them in your boat. You control as many lines as you want. What do you think, Jay? Can we do that?
I believe you're making this up.
I might be. But nonetheless, just ask Jay.
Jim is not giving away his mannequins.
Come in, ask Jay.
I'm just telling you that right now. Not going to happen.
Jay keeps the mannequins at his house. I don't know why. He dresses them up. I got Tina a new wig this week.
Yeah.
So anyway, sorry. Wow. But
I've got a new house guest this week, by the way, folks.
Yeah, live from neighbor Steve's basement.
From Jay's house soon.
Oh, goodness. But nonetheless, you can...
Wow. Jim's looking at me like,
Jim's
like,
oh, goodness.
You guys just go fishing by yourselves tonight.
I got other things to do. How could you not love it? nonetheless, I get it. Sometimes you got two dudes in the boat, you know, but if you're fishing solo, it is hard to just pick that one bait and make those passes. I think the casting ability of that, you know, fishing the drop-offs. And the reason I gravitate to Jay's idea on this, because I love it, is the old Southern thing of fishing ledges, fishing drop-offs with rattle traps for bass. Jacob Porosnik, we had a Bassmaster Elite this week here at the shop.
Great guy.
Great dude. He was talking about sort of yo-yoing and fishing rattle traps. So a musky-sized rattle trap with extra weight, that would be pretty good there. The thing that comes to mind, though, for me, just another tactic to throw out there, casting would be that countdown depth rater.
That's a good call.
You know, if you got two guys in the boat and you're like, we can troll and we're not big trollers, maybe you trolled it and you go, I feel like there's fish there and I need to come back. You have a little more modicum of control casting if we're really trying to finesse it up. That H2O coupled with that countdown depth rater could be pretty devastating. And I've not done that combo personally, but I know that would work pretty good if you had two counter presentations there. One guy's yo-yoing the Barbarian, one guy's just straight casting that depth rater. And I think that sucker's a foot a second. So you could throw it out. Yeah. If you hit 20 feet, you could set down, throw it out, do your taxes, and then start reeling it in. So it's going to take you a minute, you know. Anyway, goodness gracious. What's that number say there, Jay? Okay, I'm just checking here, folks. We're gonna hit one more here.
Okay.
We got a busy day.
We do.
It's busy, 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 busy. Cam says, hey, guys. I'll start by saying Next Level Musky Fishing is incredible. Wow. This is my favorite email so far, okay. Jay. It is. Let me read that again.
Anyway,
let's skip that. He said, I can't wait for the coloring book Jay's sure to put out here soon.
Working on it.
It's got some big words in it, like bait fish.
Mom bought me that set of markers for Christmas, remember?
So
I could draw at home.
And she had to take them away because he busted them open and sniffed them.
Not true. Steve, shut up, Steve. Shut up. Anyway. Please continue. I was kidding.
Oh, goodness. Sorry.
No, that's okay.
This is moving on, paraphrasing that love letter you wrote me. Thank you so much. I appreciate it. I'm always flattered. How do we break down a lake? This is kind of the backwards of what you hear a lot in musky fishing. How do I beat the pressure? How do I find muskies on a lake that historically is not musky fished? Woo.
Mm-hmm.
I like it. You know, you can't. Old Homer Thompson said they're just pounding them over there on Willie's weed bed. That ain't going to work. We got to find it. This is when you get to name things, too. I don't know how that works, but mark it on community edits, and maybe you'll get to name your own point or rock or something.
That'd be cool.
You're going to have to spend the time to break it down. First and foremost, break down the structure. Mark that stuff. Look for the littoral zone. Look for anything that's interesting. There could be a money hump in this body of water that no one has really targeted locally. You're not hearing about it. You could,
not to mention even the best maps. I mean, we found that out yesterday. The best, most current maps are lacking some critical stuff on there.
Yeah, and if this is underutilized, it's underfished, and you've got a hunch, you and your buddies went out there and caught a couple, or you saw a good fish that got you fired up, and you want to hit this thing, you're going to have to break this thing down and not rely on the old adage and what drives me nuts of, all right, let's all line our boats up so we can all hit, you know, Elmer Jensen's point on Three Lakes Chain, right, and hear 14 boats go by. You're getting to do the exploratory thing. Break it down structurally, you know, take every factor in, obviously the weather and the water. And one thing I say is this is don't give up. If you know there's fish there, you're going to have to break it down because the old regular adage of what's going on there is just not going to work for you. You're not going to be able to get those fish in the net. And Jay's trying to take my Jay is the biggest picture creep you're ever going to meet. You'll like be using the shop bathroom and Jay will come through the drop ceiling upside down like a freaking bat. Ah, got your smile.
You smacked me in the face yesterday. We were trying to reenact the old Todd and Dave.
I would like to do it daily, to be honest with you.
Here comes the slap, bam.
Oh, it's 8:45. Let's all smack the crap out of Jay. It's that early in the morning, and you're done with him.
I got back. I got you back, though.
Just
Jay,
line
back up,
up
the boat. Run faster. You get the lightning on. I'm like, I'll get the boat.
Jay jumped out of my suitcase this morning. I was trying to put on my underwear, and he jumps out, and he's taking a hey, smile.
Well, I never say smile.
You'll be driving down the road, Brent.
You say act natural.
You'll be driving down the road. We're on highway, you know, Q, because the road's up here. Oh, everybody's like, oh, yeah, go down to the ice cream stand. Get on highway W. Go past the old high school. And you're like, what is going on here? So I'm looking at my phone. Jay will lean over. Have you seen this TikTok, hand in your face, right? You're driving down there. There's ditch deer everywhere.
True story,
Jim Stewart.
He can't do. He can't. He
Have
can't
you
process
seen this?
Two things at once. Here, Steve. Sign language.
Two things
ready?
At once. It's dark. There's deer. The car's full of mosquitoes, and you know here's a squirrel water skiing behind a RC boat,
Steve,
in a pool.
Go straight for 2 miles and then turn right.
You know, we're back there. It's
and
ridiculous.
And when there was deer, I'd break for him. I'm like, okay, there's like three does and a fawn, 3 inches from the center line. When they move, let's they move even, in St. Germain.
Are
baby.
We talking about
dangerous.
Your drive? Well, the fun thing is when you got to follow Jay and the road's clearly marked 35, you're hauling a 20-foot boat and Jay is doing 97 miles an hour anyway. So,
what were we talking about?
We were talking about breaking down.
Up?
Breaking down this. Thank God we do this remote. We never get anything. Breaking down a new body of water. How do we break down a new body of water to find muskies? Somebody take it away. Jim, it's all you.
Oh, great, great. Yeah, I think Steven kind of said it right at the a few minutes ago. You kind of got to just get a map or drive around, spend an hour or two if you've got the time, and just find out what's out there. Find your edges, find any humps, find any, you know, anything interesting, as he said. Those are the places that will, inside turns, anything that looks good to you, try it. I mean, those fish will likely be on interesting spots that you think look interesting. If there isn't, well, then, you know what's there, and they might be there the next time or a couple hours later when you try them spots. But find something that's interesting. Find spots that look good, inside turns, humps, you know, edges, deep edges, structure that's got deep water adjacent to it, you know, neck down areas. Just spend a little time finding an area, and if you can, you know, find an area, break it down to you know, maybe a half a day or a day's worth of fishing, and then expand from there.
Mm-hmm. But one thing too to add to that is, like, when you're on that new water or under pressured water, you're going to have to sort of prioritize these spots and make sure, okay, this new hump I found that nobody's, you know, here it is Saturday in July and nobody's fishing this thing. You're going to have to dedicate some prime, major, minor, some low light time, good weather days to fish different areas to really go, is this going to produce? Hey, you know, I've got sun up. Well, I better hit these three spots this time. And the next time when you come back, keep checking these spots.
Yes. Jim's spot on. Let's say you get three, you get four. Relatively new to the lake, you go out there, let's say it's 9 o'clock in the morning, and there's not a ton of pressure. And you've located 3 to 4 really prime-looking areas. The bait's right. Everything looks great. Check it again at 5. I don't know what you're doing in between there, but maybe you started trolling those areas. Check it at 5 and note the differences.
They brought some toaster strudels, Jay. That was the time they're eating
toaster strudels. And of course, you have the luxury of doing that on a different day.
Yeah.
Same applies.
Yeah. Break it down.
Yeah.
It's sort of like we've talked about, just finding spots. Make sure you hit. Don't write a spot off if you don't see a fish on it the first 10 times if you've not fished under prime conditions. You know, that's probably the difficult thing. If you might find this one wee bit, like, dude, they're cracking off in here. You might be missing Hogosaurus Rex out here if you're not, you know, checking the hump when the fish are going. I think, you know, I'll wrap it on this, which would be on new water, if I catch a fish off of a spot, the first thing I'm doing is taking the picture, letting that sucker go, and then I'm running to another spot that was interesting, because if he's moving over here, maybe I can find something better and, you know, get a feel for what's going on in this body of water. Anyway, guys, we'll have more coming up in the coming weeks of live from Muskie Shop Studios here at the illustrious Abbey Road off of Highway 51 South, Monaco, Wisconsin. Just go past the Burger King straight through downtown. Now, you're going to cross over the Lake Tomahawk. Slow down right there, because people have strollers and
go
children.
Go by the sign that says life is worth living and then take a right.
Right. Now, don't hit any pedestrians. We're going to come up here, right?
Right.
It's going to go dead here for a little bit. There's
the
nothing.
Brakes,
you think you're going to the woods.
Slow down. There's
right?
people out there, you know.
You're going to see some go-karts and horses. Don't
and
get
gophers.
Scared. Keep coming.
Mind the
Keep
chipmunks,
coming.
Please.
Don't hit any wildlife. You
the
come up the hill.
Still spotted.
You're going to see a bowling alley right at the top. The shining
Ooh,
bastion on
alley.
The hill. The Muskie Shop.
Dick
All right.
Stempke
Dick
threw a 300 Stempke. Last week, by the way.
Anyway.
He rolled a 300.
All right, guys. All right, Jay
Thanks
Bird, say good night.
Good night, guys.
Jim Bird, say good day. All righty. They're grooving in next to you. Joey.